God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Today is July 3rd, 2022. We do record our messages, the information on the church's website, and our contact information is on the back of the bulletin. We put our messages up on the church's Facebook page and also the church's website, that you can go back and listen to past messages or listen to this one again. We're grateful for all of those who listen wherever you are. Grateful for those that are here. We interact with about 80 people a week. Kind of hard to believe looking around at the small number that we have. But God is at work. And God is using each and every one of us. And God is reaching, God is just tugging at hearts. And we are so grateful for that. I want to talk this morning. The message is love others. Not quite the same as love one another, because we'll talk about that difference in a minute too. But love others. We start with 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. And I sometimes tend to get reading fast, so I'm going to try real hard to slow down today. Take things a little easy, maybe make it a little easier to understand what I'm saying, instead of having to go back and listen to the message three or four times to figure out what in the world he was talking about. 2 Thessalonians 1, reading verse 3, Paul talking to the Thessalonians says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." Talking about the Thessalonian church, the church at Thessalonica, he says, "We're praising God because your love abounds and it shows that you care for each other." Here in the body, here in our church, this is a loving church. Praise God. This is a wonderful place to gather together to encourage one another. And not only amongst ourselves, we also love the body of Christ in general, and we lift up and pray for other churches, and we reach out and look for opportunities to fellowship with other believers and just share. But that's not all that we are called to do. We aren't called to just love our brothers and sisters in Christ. God loved the whole world so much that he sent Jesus. God's promise to Abraham was that in you will all the families of the world be blessed. So we are to be a blessing and an encouragement not only to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to the people around us. That love others. As we've been going through the Bible study on Wednesday night, there have been some questions and some topics about you ever have a thought and it just leave you? Praise God. Talking about, you know, division and separation. They talked somewhat about there in the book of Acts, chapter 6, where the seven were picked to help run the administration of the church. Basically, the first deacons taking care of the things of the church, because the Jewish or the Greek Jewish believers, those who weren't from, they were still Hebrews, but they weren't from Jerusalem. They weren't residing in Judah. They were residing in other parts of the world, but still Hebrews, still Jewish, still of the nation of Israel. That their widows were being missed out in the daily distribution, and we talked about that, about how there's sometimes a separation. Those others, those different, those that don't look like me or don't look like you, or don't act like me or act like you. And it talked about even believers, but here we are, we're called to love others. Love those that are different. Love those that are separate. Love those that don't have the same background we do. We're called to love those who do, but also to love those who don't. We're called to love people, to point them to the Lord. So in Deuteronomy 31, beginning with verse 9, so you know Deuteronomy 31, by this time, you know, the five books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, are almost over by chapter 31 of Deuteronomy. We're coming to the end of. In fact, later on, in other past this passage, the Lord tells Moses, it's about time for you to die. So we're right at the end of Moses' life. So beginning with verse 9, it says, "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes together before the Lord your God in this place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." Moses tells the children of Israel, every 7 years, make sure you gather everybody together. Not just your family, not just the Levites, not just your women and children, but everyone who's around to share with them the things that God has done. The stranger that is within your gates, that other, that person who's not of the tribe of Israel, that person who's not of our little group or our little clique, but to make sure you are sharing the great things God has done with the people that are around you. Do we ever take this lesson to heart? Lord, help me to be a light to the people around me. Help me to share your love and your blessing to the people around me, regardless of whether or not they fit in with my clique or whether they even want to hang out with me. You know? Help me to be a light and to be a blessing to the people around me. Because God directs our steps. God is the one who brings the people into our orbit, brings the people into our circumstances. He's the one who guides us. He's the one who sees from the end from the beginning. He is the one who sets up the divine appointments. If God is bringing someone across your path on a regular basis, praise God for the opportunity to share your love. Let's love them enough to tell them about the great things of God. I don't know, you probably heard this, maybe not. Penn Jillette is a comedian. He's a well-known comedian. He's also a very staunch atheist. But he made a statement one time talking about Christians, and he said, "How much do you have to hate somebody that if you think that if they don't follow your beliefs, they are going to hell, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them that?" An atheist says, if you really believe that a person who doesn't follow the Lord is going to hell, you had better be telling them. Doesn't mean they're going to listen. Doesn't mean they're going to accept. What it means is our responsibility is to share the gospel of God to everyone who crosses our path. Because God is the one who brings them across our path. God is the one who is at work. God is the one who directs us. God is the one who is at work in the circumstances. So here, as Moses told them, when you gather together and share, and make sure you do it at least 7 years. And he's talking to Israel. And he's talking to make sure they do this, to share the books of the law of God, and to tell not only your family, but everyone around about the great things of God, that they may come to know, that they might learn, that they might understand. Next passage of Scripture, John 9, beginning with verse 1. This verse woke me up in the middle of the night 3 nights ago. "Now, as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" Now, we just read that passage, and if it doesn't, you know, jump off the page and hammer you, I understand, because it never did to me until the middle of the night a couple of nights ago. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. We see people all around us who are hurting, who are confused, who are going through difficult times, who are just in a bad case, bad situation. I don't believe God makes any mistakes. I really don't. But I don't always understand what God is doing or why He's doing the things that He's doing. Why He allows the things that He allows. I just know He is God. What if the people around us that we know that are struggling aren't struggling because their parents sinned, aren't struggling because of something else other than that we live in a lost and falling world, but what if it's an opportunity that the glory of God may be revealed in them? In the last couple of months, I have met three transgendered people. Had different conversations and communications with two of them. One I've known for years and years and years, and has recently started living a transgendered lifestyle. And I know from his past, there are issues of abandonment. There are issues of trauma. He was in the war. He was injured. He had PTSD and all of these other things going on that has shaken him to his core. And now suddenly, he's decided to live as a female. That's one person. Another person that I'd met and was sharing with and was talking with, just, you know, trying to show the love of God, has talked about the demonic oppression that they've been going through. Some people say, I don't believe in demons. Well, Jesus did. Scripture talks about Jesus casting out devils. Talks quite a bit about Jesus talking about casting out devils. Demonic possession, demonic oppression is a real thing. And this person struggling and in sharing about the demonic oppression that they're going through. What if this is an opportunity for God's glory to be revealed, God to heal? But if we never reach out to people that are struggling, if we never reach out to people that are different to us, if we never reach out to somebody, I can't understand what it's like to not feel normal in my own skin. I don't get it. I can't get that through my head. But I understand that there are people struggling with that. And understanding that there are people struggling with that, at the same time knowing that God doesn't make mistakes, and that God loves everybody, and it's not His will that any should perish. My job, your job, as members of the body of Christ, of being here in this time, in this place, in this nation, in this world, in this day and age, where we have these things going on around us, is to share the love of God with them. To love others, not just love one another, not just love those people we understand and agree with, but to love other people. That doesn't mean we say, yeah, you're right, God made a mistake. What it means is, I don't understand, but I know that you are precious in the sight of God and He has a plan and purpose for your life. I know that He loves you. I know that Jesus died for you. I know that He's at work. And I know it's not His will that any should perish. God calls me to love other people. Not just people like me. Not just people that I'm comfortable around. But to love other people. Jesus died for each and every person. Each and every one. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world. You look at Jesus' day. You had the demoniac over in Gadara, across the Sea of Galilee. You had the woman taken in adultery. You had all of these people that were sinners by their own definition, publicans and sinners. It's the part I like: tax collectors and sinners. They're in a category all by themselves. But love them. Matthew had been a tax collector. Guess what? You can have been a tax collector, one of the lowest of the low, according to the society of Israel, and still be called by Jesus and be led out of it. God is at work. It is not His will that any should perish. go to the final final passage of Scripture, and this one's a long one. Well, it's 8 verses, but it's, you know me, so it's going to be a long one. In Isaiah, now this is right after God has talked about the suffering servant and how Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles. But he goes on in Isaiah 56, and he's talking to the congregation. He's talking to the people. He said, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, 'The Lord has utterly separated me from his people.'" Stop right there for just a minute. Don't let the people around you say, "God doesn't care about me. God doesn't want me." Don't let them do it. Live in such a way, reach out in such a way that people around us know that God loves them. That God is drawing them, that God cares about them, that Jesus died for them. Reach out to them. Carrying on, still in verse 3. "Nor let the eunuch say, 'Here I am, a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." You know, back in the law, eunuchs weren't allowed to enter into the congregation of the Lord. But here God says, "You don't keep anyone away from me. You don't put up any barriers to any person. Don't become a stumbling block. Don't become a wall. Don't become an obstacle. Show people that I love them." And again, as I said before, that doesn't mean I have to agree. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean I have to accept. That doesn't mean I have to condone things that my Bible tells me are wrong. What it tells me is every life is precious in the sight of God. He is the only one who can change a heart. And if I get in the way, I become an obstacle and a stumbling block. I am called to love others. You are called to love others. Love those who are different so that God can work through us to touch their lives. Verse 6, "Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, 'Yet I will gather to him others beside those who are gathered to him.'" God says, "I don't just want those in the church to seek my face. I want everyone to seek my face." That God would call people by his Spirit, would stir in their hearts. We are told to not be an obstacle, to not be a barrier, but to show the love of God, to love others, to love those who are different, to tell them about a great and merciful and loving God who is willing to take them right as they are and touch them and change them and work in their lives. Called them by who's willing to call them and direct them, just as he has worked in my life, just as he's worked in your life. I praise God I am not the person that I used to be. I was mean. I was vindictive. I was cold, and I was a lot of other things, to the point where my bride says, if she'd known me then, she would not know me now. My old Navy buddy said, "You are a preacher? God can touch and change anybody's heart. He's worked in mine. He can work in everybody. And I need to make sure, we need to make sure that's the message we're relaying, that the God who takes broken people and makes them whole, the God who heals, the God who saves, the God who delivers, the God who sets free, the God who has a plan and purpose for our lives, the God who knit us together in our mother's womb and knows everything about us, loves them and is drawing them, wants a relationship with them. But if we will sit there and push them away, if we will sit there and ignore them, if we will sit there and pull back from them, how are we fulfilling the mission that the Lord has given us? We are called to be lights in the midst of the darkness. We are called to be a blessing to those around us. We are called to encourage and show the love of God to the people we meet. We are called to love others. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are at work in our hearts and lives. Father, that you will not allow us to be complacent, that you will not allow us to stay partway there, Father, but that you lead us and continue to guide us. You continue to direct us. You continue to work in us, making us more and more and more like Jesus, guiding us and directing our steps, Father. Leading us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Father, that you might hold us up as your trophies of your grace. You might hold us up, Father, as examples that you can take messed up people and use, do something wonderful through them. We thank you, Father, for your great love that you shed abroad upon us, Father. Lord, that you've saved us, that you've stirred in us, Father, that you're working our hearts and lives, and that you have a plan and purpose. We thank you, Father, for the people that you bring across our path, knowing, Lord, that these divine appointments are opportunities to share your love, to share your grace, to share your mercy. These are opportunities, Father, to be the salt and light that you called us to be. To be your hand and feet extended, Father, to be your servants, fit for the Master's use. So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcdt.org.